Today's daf is daf kuf ayin aleph. So I figured we get that six lines down and says my brisa. So the Gemara was saying yesterday that there's a machlokis in the Mishnah. What do you do? Person pays off part of his loan. So Rabbi Huda said in the Mishnah, yachlif, you tear it up. And Rabbi Yossi says you write a receipt for it. So the came along Rav and the Gemara. Rav said we don't pass like Rabbi Huda, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. And rather, because according to Rabbi Huda, it sounded like in the Mishnah that even Edom could tear up the shtar and write a new shtar. But Rav said that no, only Bezdin is able to do this. So if Nachman said, had Rav been aware of a brisa that even Edom are allowed to be Mekarin and Sashtar, Rav would have admitted. And the Gemara says, Rav knew about this brisa, and still nonetheless he argued and said only Bezdin, but not the Edom. So the Gemara now wants to know, my brisa, what's this brisa that they're referring to here, the Tanya, that he would have, that had he known, supposedly, he would have retracted. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, Hareisha you know Shebo Elav Zuz. A person has a document he owes 1,000 zuz. Upar mehen chamesh meo zuz, and he pays off 500. Pays off half the loan. So the Mishnah, the Braisa says, Eidim mekarin es ashtar bekostrin lo shtar acher mizban rishon divrei Reb Yehuda. So the Braisa clearly says that the Eidim are the ones who could tear up the shtar and rewrite a whole new document, and they could even date it back to when the original loan took place. Continuing the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtar ze yehe munach bimkomo. We leave the shtar as is, you can't touch it. V'yichtevu shovar, and you write a receipt that the lova has, I paid off half the loan. U'mivnei shnei dvarim. The reason why Rabbi Yossi says leave the shtar as is, and you write a receipt instead, is two different things. Amru, two reasons. One is kosun shovar. Again, mivnei shnei dvarim amru kosun shovar. Two reasons why you write a shovar, according to Rabbi Yossi. Achas, kidei shiachav lefaro. One is in order to really encourage the lover to pay off. Because if he knows the malva is still holding on to the loan, and he needs to hold on to the receipt to protect himself from the other 50% he paid already, he's going to make sure to pay it off as soon as possible. So in order to ensure he pays quicker for the benefit of the malva. And achas, the second reason why we write a shovar, kadei sheyikva mizman rishon. Because if you tear up the shtar, so it gets a little bit complicated whether you could write back from mizman rishon or not. So we'll see in a second where the Gemara is going to address. But if you hold on to the first shtar with the original Zman, that allows the to collect from Lekuchos already from Zman Rishon in the shtar. So this is the Machlokas in the Braisa that Rav would have retracted, supposedly, had he known about this. Where again, Rabbi Huda clearly says that the Eidim can be Makarin as a shtar. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rabbi Yossi doesn't make any sense. What's Rabbi Yossi saying? The second reason is because you could collect from Zman Rishon. Bahar Rabbi Yehuda himself, Nami Zman Rishon Kama. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you rewrite the shtar, you could date it back to the Zman Rishon. So there is no machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and Zman Rishon. So why is it a reason to write a shovar? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar Le Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda that Im Zman Rishon Kamris. So it's a little unclear what Rabbi Yehuda said. They weren't sure whether he said the new shtar can be written Zman Rishon or Zman Sheni. So Rabbi Yossi says, if Rabbi Yehuda said you could redate the second shtar from the Zman Rishon, so Paligna Alecha Bechad. I only argue on one point, that is, I actually say you write a shover. But even Zman Sheni Kamris, if Rabbi Yehuda says, when you rewrite the second shtar, you need to write the current Zman, so then Paligna Alecha Betarti, I'm arguing you on two fronts. One is I say don't rip up the shtar at all. Number two is I say you could collect all the way back from the Zman Rishon. And I'm reading this Gemara now. I'm having recollections from a Gemara in Yuma where there's another type of discussion where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about something with Shnei Seirim, and one of the Seirim die, so Rabbi Shimon says something strange back to Rabbi Yehuda. And so the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, I'm not sure Rabbi Yehuda meant. If Rabbi Yehuda meant this, I'm arguing him on one front. If he says this, I'm arguing on two fronts. I'm just wondering, overall, if there's some discussion with Rabbi Yehuda that maybe his statements were somewhat ambiguous, which led to this suffix of how to respond to him. These are, I think it's Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara Numa. But here we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so this is the Gemara. Now the Gemara presents a new Braisa. So the Braisa is a bit confusing here. And the Braisa says as follows. Tanur Rabbanan. Shtar shizmanu kosev b'shabbos o b'asar b'tishrei. A document that says it was written on Shabbos or written on Yom Kippur. And we assume it's a shtar meuchar, and the kosher divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We assume it was a shtar that was actually written later than the actual zman, and Rabbi Yehuda allows a shtar meuchar. So again, let's say a loan was given January 1st, but you date it February 1st. That's called the shtar meuchar. And Rabbi Yehuda says such a shtar meuchar is kasher. So if the date says Yom Kippur on Shabbos, and we could assume it wasn't written on those days, so then we say they just did a later date and happens to be on that date. So just look at Rashbam for some clarification here. Rashbam says two medium wide lines down, Tana Rabbanan Shtar Shekasu Bozmano B'Shabbos O B'Asar B'Tishrei. Kigon, B'Mekomos Shemonim L'Chad She'achama, places where they go based on the solar calendar, January, February, and so on. B'Kasu B'Shtar B'Tesvav L'Yareach Ploni, they've said January 15th. And V'Kishanu Nizkakin L'Chabin Masai Ira Yom Tesvav Shel Osu Chodesh. When they try to figure out what English date corresponds to the Hebrew date here, Nimso Nasa B'Yom Shabbos. Turns out January 15th is Shabbos. Oh, B'Yom Asir, or Letitia, turned out to be Yom Kippur. And Yom Tesvav Shel Osu Chodesh. V'Kol Yodim Shelo Nichtav Lo B'Shabbos Lo B'Yom HaKippurim. Everybody knows that it wasn't written on those days. So Nimso Shelo Nichtav Osu Yom HaMuchuach B'Shtar. So we could assume that it wasn't written on the star, on the date that's written the star, ela omuktamo hu pasul. Either the date was earlier than the actual transaction took place, which star muktam is actually pasul. If you borrow on January 1st and you write December 1st, that's pasul. But if it's star meuchar, it's going to be kasher. So the halacha is we assume it's definitely a star meuchar.
So Rashi comes just explain why, how it was possible that it happened.
Exactly. Well. Yeah. So there happened to be a fascinating discussion about whether or not you're allowed to use English dates in general or not. It's clear from the Rashbam that they would use English dates. So the Tshuvos Maharil here has a whole discussion also with regards to writing on a batseva English words as well, or does everything have to be in Hebrew? Sorry, the Mahar Mashik. So Mahar Mashik says that it's also to write in a batseva any language other than Lashon Kodesh, and you're not allowed to count with the non-Jewish calendars either, and it's Bechlal B'chukosim lo selechu, and Neshem Elohim Achem lo saskiru. Because by you going based on the Christian calendar, you're going based on the Yoshka's death and all that stuff. So that's now somehow, either you're not mentioning his name, it's you're mentioning his name. And therefore, Osir to use dates, and he adds on as well to use English.
Let's say everything to Lumata, you start saying it on December 4th.
Right. So that's not because we go based on...
Because of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Happens to be. So that's just how we know what the date is. But not that we're counting based on that.
A lot of people have dates in English.
Yeah. So, but based on the Sefer Yerayim, the Rain writes, it's only us if you actually mention the name. But just to use a date without mentioning the names, there is no Isser involved in that. But the Chassam Sofer is very stark Lashon. He says, those people who count based on 2017, based on the Minyan Briasa Olam, we count Briasa Olam rather, and not counting based on the non-Jewish calendar, such a person ain lo chelek belokei Yisrael. Oy lahem ki gamul lenafshem ra'a, and other very interesting words to describe such people.
Wow.
But in the end of the day, the Tshuvas Hanhagos, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach writes that there is no nidnun shel isur, there's no concern at all to write the date of a non-Jewish calendar, and it's very, very much practiced. And he brings Raya's, he doesn't quote the Gemara, but I believe the Gemara of Odeh Zarah, they used to use the Greek kings, the Greek calendars, as a way of keeping shars.
The name of the Hebrew months are all not Jewish.
You have to look at the Ramban al Torah. He talks about this, whether it's true or it's not true. Some say it's non-Jewish, some say actually...
That's what he means.
Right, no, so historically one would say it's based on other things, but based on the a lot of the Sfarim HaKadoshim point out, there's a lot of... Adar and Nisan. Nisan is Nase. It's connected to the Nisim of Mitzrayim. Adar, the Gemara in Beitza says Adar is a type of tree which comes from year to year. Hadar, it's a Lashon Hidur. So the Machlok is about this. But either way, we see it's not a Pasha Din based on the Tshuvas. So that's how they wrote a later date, an English date, and it turned out it was Yom Kippur or Shabbos, which of course wasn't the intention. So that's a Shtar Me'uchar and Kasher. But then comes along Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Posel, he disqualifies such a shtar, and that's because Rashbam points out, in general, he rejects the concept of shtar meuchar, dalma. Whenever there's a shtar meuchar that has a later date, that Rabbi Yossi disqualifies. So the Gemara says, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo ma'ise balafanecha b'tzipori. Once there was such a halacha that came to your desk in Tzipori, v'chshartan, you said it was kosher. So you do allow a shtar meuchar. So Amalah, Rabbi Yoshi says, no, kishechsharti bazechsharti. I said it's kosher in a case of kazeh. What does bazeh mean? Unclear. Rabbi Yehuda, nami bazeh kamar, doesn't he also say bazeh? So what's this machlokes? So the Gemara explains as follows. Amar Rabbi Padas, I call Moldim, everybody's in agreement. Shim hus kaknu la'onasel shashtar. If you figure out what the date of the English calendar corresponds to the Hebrew date, v'nim says onasa mechavenes b'shabbos or basara b'tishrei. Turns out the English date is coincides with a Shabbos or Yom Kippur or some other Yom Tif. So in that case, everybody agrees shashtar mu'uchar b'kasher. Even Rabbi Yossi will agree such a case is going to be kasher. That's agreed upon by everybody. But what's the machlokas, says the Gemara on top of Kuf Ayin Alef Amud Beis? Lo nechloku ela b'shtar me'uchar be'alma. There's a general shtar me'uchar. So just look at the Rashbam on top. He says, lo nechloku ela b'shtar me'uchar be'alma shemagi onasa b'yom chol. If the later date turned out on a weekday, v'lo yivade im'uchar im'lav, then you don't know if it's a later date or not a later date. So that's a machlokas. So again, it's unclear what's going on exactly. You have to look at the Rashbam on the bottom here. But if the later date is Mamash a Shabbos or Yom Kippur, so everyone agrees that's definitely a Shtar Me'uchar. Why? I'm not sure why that's a Shtar Me'uchar. That's a Shtar Me'uchar, and everyone says Kasher. But when it reaches a Yemei Chol, based on the English date, then it's unclear whether it's a Shtar Me'uchar or not. So Rabbi Yossi assumes it's a, Rabbi Yehuda assumes it's a Shtar Me'uchar and Kasher. Rabbi Yossi says not. So just look a little further in the Gemara to hopefully explain this. Will hopefully become clear now. So the Gemara says, "The Rabbi Yehuda letame, the damar what? He holds the ein kosin shovar, v'lo nafik minei churva. So the, since you don't write a shovar, you always use the original document, and there's no nothing churva, nothing bad's going to take place in a later document. Why is that? Because you can only collect once. Look at Rashbam. Rashbam says, the Rabbi Yehuda around five narrow lines down, the machshir letame." Damar ein kosin shovar. You don't write a receipt. Hokach lo chayish. There's no concern here. Bein meuchar lichshenichta bezmano liolam ein parea achi kachashar v'kareno. The only time the lover will pay is if you tear up that document. V'cheven shenikra ashar. Once you tear the document, lo chayish lemide. There's nothing. There's no concern that's ever going to happen. As we'll see in Rabbi Yossi, there's a concern of a second payment, a second collection. So Rabbi Yehuda, who cares about the date? The date doesn't really make much of a difference whether it's Yimei Chol or it's Yimei Shabbos. It's all fine. But according to Rabbi Yossi, back to the Gemara, then we'll read Rashbam, Rabbi Yossi letamei damar kosvin shovar v'nafik minei churva. The Malva still holds, if the document was paid only partially, so the bank still holds on to the document, and then the Lova has to have a receipt that he paid half. So now, says Rashbam, letamei damar kosvin shovar, hecha de par miktas chova, when you pay half or part of the obligation, v'hu adin hecha de par kol chova, and you pay the whole amount, the towing malva, and the malva claims, irkas shtari, I lost my shtar, can be farish lekaman, kosvin shovar. So you write a receipt for the lova, so he's protected. The nos in the lova, you give the shovar to the lova, lo dia shepar al chova, the show he got paid off. Hilkach chai shtar muchar pasal. Now the reason why shtar muchar is pasal, because now what may happen is the malva might go ahead and take out that other document, and he's going to present it to try to collect it from the Love yet a second time. And since the Shar Me'uchar came later, so now you could say, oh, the what do you pay me later? The Shovar said a date earlier on it. And you collected an earlier date now. But I've got a new document that says, April 1st, and they're going to collect a second time. And since we don't rip up the Shtar, there's a concern of that happening. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says a Shtar Me'uchar is always possible because the Malva might try to collect again. But if the Shar Me'uchar has a date of Shabbos or Yom Kippur, then clearly there's some mistake. We don't view that as a shtar me'uchar. That's just a regular shtar, and we don't allow a person to use that as part of a collection.
Nobody's worried about that it's a shtar me'uchar and it's possible.
Right, so I'm not sure why they didn't make this. We assume people don't write shtar me'uchar because they're just possible.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, again, it's not so clear. So the Gemara now says further. A different point now, but it's related. Rashbam said there's a milsa b'apay nafshe now. So comes along Amar Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua afilu l'man d'amar, even the one who holds kosvin shover, that you do write a receipt, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, hani mila apalga avala kula lo. The only time you write a receipt is if part of it was paid off, because you still want the malva to have the document, you can't rip it up. But if the lova pays everything up, so it's not fair to have the bank hold on to the shtar, so then you would tear up the shtar. So Gemara says, Vilohi, not true. Afila kula kasvina, not true. The Gemara says, you always write a shover, you always write a receipt in order to protect the lova, and even though the malva can still hold on to the document. Kihadi Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef have a masik bezuze b'Rabbi Abba. He was owed money from Rabbi Abba. And also, l'kamed Rav Yichanina bar Papi, amrlei havli zuze, give me my money. So amrlei havli shari, give me a document, v'shakol zuzeich, and take your money. I'm not paying you until I have you, till I see you rip up the document, because you might pull the document and pay, request collection a second time. So amrlei shtarcha arkisli, I lost the shtar, b'echtav latavra, I wrote you, write your receipt, and this way you'll be protected. So Amar Lei Haravu Shmuel Damri Tavayu Ein Kosin Shovar. Rav and Shmuel says we don't write a shovar, and I'm not willing to accept the receipt. If you don't produce the document, I'm not willing to pay. So now he responds back, Amar Man Yovlan Ma'afrid Rav Shmuel Raminim Ba'anayu. Suddenly you're trying to take the dirt of Rav Shmuel, place him in our eyes. Now you're being mechabed them so much as Rabbeinu Gershom. You're trusting them. But Harav Yochanan of Harav Shlokish Damri Tavayu Kosin Shovar. That they both say you do write a shovar. V'chein ki asa Rabin. When Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael, I'm a Rabbi Yilah, kosvin shovar. You write a shovar, so you have to pay me money, and here's your receipt that you paid up. Umistavar the kosvin star, and shovar. It also is very logical to say that you write a receipt. Dis hakadaitach ein, daita ein kosvin shovar. If you assume that you don't write a shovar, so then, avod shar shozer, yochahala v'chadei. So now what happens is that the bank loses the agreement, his document, so the lova gets to eat all he wants, the payers, and he's so happy. Is that really fair? So maskev labaya elamai kosvin shovar. So then what do you do? So you do write a shovar? So now what happens the other way is avad shovar shelzeh, but if the lova loses the shovar, then yochel halav echadi. So now the malva is going to collect the second time from him, and the malva is going to be happy. So the question, the real debate of the Gemara is, who gets the benefit, really? Are we trying to protect the malva or the lova?
Makes sense that you're protecting
them all. So that's what it says. Yeah. So we would say, because we don't shlo tinel delis b'flei lovin, we want to always have the banks open. Same time, the lovas are the ones who always need the money, and they're like the poor people, and now we're putting them at a disadvantage. But the Gemara invokes, I would have thought to invoke kedei shlo tinel delis b'flei lovin, but the Gemara says a pasuk, which the Gemara quotes a few times, amalei rava, in we are protecting the malva because the concept Eved Lova Leish Malva. The Lova is a servant, he's a slave to the Malva, so the Malva always has the upper hand. Based on the mention of the statement above, that we said, Man Yov Me'afrid Rabu Shmuel B'Rabin Be'enayu, who took the dirt of Rabu Shmuel and placed it in our eyes? So based on this Gemara, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo that after someone would die, they would go down and kiss the dirt of the kever of a tzaddik when a tzaddik dies. But the Darchei Moshe says the practice is not to do such a thing, but there was once a practice based on this sugya here. Okay.
Here it says that the Rashba holds that that's not really the reason. It's just like the...
Which now, read the Pasuk?
Yeah.
What do you say the real reason is?
It's wrong, but I read it. I'm trying to read it.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah, so, HaRashba b'ktuvos dafei omer al pi ha-sugya sham shebemet ikar hatam shekotvim shover אינו משום אבת עובד באיש מלווה, אלא משום שלא יוכל הלווה מה שאינו שלו וישמח. If he loses, then the לווה can keep it. שכן, עיבוד השובר אינו ודאי. It's not for sure. וגם רחוק הוא שידע המלווה שהלווה עיבד את השובר ויחזור ויתבע. Meaning that if he loses, it's not for sure that he has to present it again. But if the other guy loses a contract, he has to present it because the guy is not going to pay. Okay, it says, למד זאת, הפסדו של המלווה אם אין כותבים שובר, הוא ודאי מיד. Why? Because he has to present the... Right? ועוד כותב הרשב"ם, שחכמים לא חילקו בכיוון שתקנו בשטר הלווה שכותבים שובר משום שעבד לווה לאיש מלווה, תקנו כן גם בשאר שטרות שלא לחלק בשטרות. And they also didn't want to make a difference.
Uh-huh. Which, where is this Rashbam? It's not on our daf, is it?
It's Bechtuvos.
Uh-huh. Rashing Ksubas, I guess.
Uh-huh.
That's where it is, really? Okay. Okay, fine. So Gemara now says, quotes a Mishnah, the Mishnah that appears in Bab Metzia as follows. Tanan Hasam, actually Mishnah really in Rashana, I think. Tanan Hasam, Shtari Chov Hamukdamim, Psulin Hamukharim Ksherim, a shtar that's written prior to the loan date, So the loan was, let's say, February 1st, and you wrote January 1st, that's possible. And the reason why it's possible is because now you're putting the lekuchos at a disadvantage. Because the bank's going after the lova doesn't pay, they're going to say, oh, the shahr says from January 1st. And any sales that the lova made from January 1st to February 1st, they have the rights to collect. But they really shouldn't have the right to collect it because the loan didn't take effect until February 1st. Those shahr mukdamim are psulim. But hamur acharim k'shem, if you write a later date than the actual loan, that's kosher because you're actually putting an advantage and they're not allowed to, the bank cannot collect from the lekuchos for the month from February 1st to March 1st, let's say. So Gemara says, Amar of Hamnuna, lo shanu ela shtari halva. This is only true when it comes to shal hava, that we allow a shtar mucharim. Aval shtari mekuch memkar, sale afilu mucharim nami psulin. To have a sale document right later than it actually took place, that's actually possible. What's the reason? My time on. Because zimnin demazmin le'ara b'nisan. Sometimes Reuven's going to sell land to Shimon and Nisan. And the Rashbam says, and on condition that Reuven says to Shimon, I'm selling the land, but if I could come up with the money, you have to return the land back to me. So that's a Tanai that's there. The cost of labor, Tishrei, and they write in it, the sale took place in Tishrei, 6 months later. U'misrami le'zuzay, and somehow, beni, that Reuven was able to come up with the money he owes Shimon, sometime in Av, let's say. V'zavin le'minein, buys back the field from Shimon in Av, so now he has the field. But then, the Chimate Tishrei, when Tishrei comes around, Shimon pulls out that shtar that said Tishrei incorrectly on it. Mimapik lev amar lei, hadar zamti minach. He sold it back to me in Tishrei, even though that never really happened. So therefore, when shtar mekuch memkar, you cannot write shtar mucharim. So according to that same reason, Gemara says, Ihachi, shtari hava nami. Same thing could happen with shtar hava. That zimnin, the yazif ben Nisan, they're going to borrow money in Nisan, v'kasa le shtar b'tishrei. But write the document that took place in Tishrei. And the lova is going to come up with the money in Av and pay it back in Av. Then Amar Lei Havli Shari, he says, give me the document. I want to rip up the document that I owe you money. And Amar Lei, the bank says, Irkasli, we lost the bank, but I'll tell you what, Kasla Tavra, here's the shovar. Then in Av, you paid back everything. Now what happens is, V'chimat Tzmana, when Tishrei comes, Mapik Lei, the bank's going to present a what seems to be a new shtar, that you owe me money, that you borrowed money in Tishrei yet again, and Amar Lei, Hani Hashti, who does often Minai, and claim that you borrowed money from me now in Tishrei. So even a shtar Hova, a shtar Mucharim should be possible. So the Gemara says, no, Kasavar Ein Kosun Shovar. We pass, you don't like, right, you cannot write a shovar. Which means what? When the bank tries to collect from you an Av, that Lova says, I'm only paying you if you present the shtar and we'll rip it up. If you tell me you lost the shtar, well, I don't have to pay you because we don't write shovars here. So there is no concern of writing, having that document being held onto by the bank and presenting it yet a second time. In the previous discussion. Yeah, this goes back to the whole discussion, yeah. So we're just saying here that in terms of, we brought with regards to shtar halva, shtar mekuch memcha, which we didn't see yet. Now we're just bringing it back to Shar Hovah, whether that's the same concern or not.
And Rashi says, going like Rabbi Yehuda, who said,
so you don't write a Shovar, right. So Amar Lei Rav Yemar LeRav Kana, Amri La, they say Rabbi Yirmiyah Medivti LeRav Kana, V'ha'idna, nowadays, the Kasvina and Shtar Mucharin, where we do write a post-dated Shtar, the Kasvina and Tavra, and we also write a Shovar. So now, what's going to be now? Amai Kavdina Hachi, reading the parentheses. Why are you allowed to do this? If you're allowed to write a Tishrei shtar, even though it took place in Nisan, and we write a shovar to the lova, so that means the malva can still hold on to the document, and the Tishrei presented again to them. So how do we get around this concern? So Amar Lei, Basar Damar Lehu Rabbi Abba Lesafri. After Rabbi Abba told this sofrim, Ki Kasvinu shtar muchare kasvi hachi. When you write a shtar meuchar, you have to write the following. Shtara danon lo bizmeina kasvina ala harinu v'kasvinu. You have to write that was post-dated, so it becomes clear you could never use this as a shtar for a later payment. So then comes along Amar Lei Rav Ashi Lei Rav Kana though, v'ha'inna delo kalev din hachi. So now we don't write this, even by shtar meuchar, we don't require writing such a text. So how do you get around this problem? So Basad Amar Lei Rav Safra Le Safra, he told his sofrim, when you write the shovar, if you know the date of the shtar, so let's say the shtar muchar was Tishrei, so write the shovar that the shovar is paying for the shtar that says Tishrei on it. So there's no way, as long as the lova holds on to his receipt, so then the shtar can never be collected twice. Ilo kasve. Stama ilo kasve stama. If you don't know the date of the sharmuchar, just write stam date. The shover is good. He paid up. Doesn't specify a date. And whenever the bank tries collecting from him, he always presents the receipt. You see, I paid back. I paid back.
That can go against Eligar.
The malva.
Let's say he borrows again.
Right. That's the only thing. So I was wondering that also. I guess that you wouldn't borrow from the same bank, or the bank wouldn't lend to the same person twice.
Yeah.
Unless you rip up your receipt.
Or unless it's a different price, different amount of money.
Right.
Do $1 million and a penny.
Yeah, but the guy can make sure that he borrows the same amount of money.
So the bank wouldn't do it then. Unless there's some different number under it. So then the Gemara says, the chol emas denafik l'raya, amar l'raya. So whenever he wants, he could always take it out and ruin and show that the sharchov is a bad sharchov. So then the Gemara says, Amrle Ravina le Rav Ashi, Amrle others say, Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, V'ha ha'ina nowadays, de lo kavidin hachi, where we don't write the simanim in the sharmucha. Rashi Basham says here on top, V'ha'ina de lo avdin hachi, ela kasvin and sharmucha stama. De lo kasvin achmino kasvinu. We don't write that there was a sharmucha. And we write kasvina and tavr, we write a shovar, b'shas piron. And we even write the Zmana, the Shovar in it. So now, what's the concern? How do we know? How can we protect? Maybe the bank is going to try to use that same initial document in Tishrei and never present it again. So the Gemara says, Amar lehi rabbanan takuna takina, demei takana, man de avid avid, man de lo avid, ihud afsid avnafshe. So what was the takana they made? So a person who does this protects himself from a hefsed, and a person who doesn't do this, so then he caused himself a loss. So, meaning, those who don't write it, that's their fault. These are the eights that Chacham are giving to you. If you're willing to go into an agreement where these stipulations are not made, that's your fault. So make sure that if you do such a stipulation, that you follow one of the above recipes in order to protect yourself from being collected from two times.
And the reason they're not Ostrom, Starmel,